Now, if you'll open your Bibles to the third chapter of John. Let's read the first few verses together. John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now this man, Nicodemus, who came to our Lord on this particular occasion, first of all, was a very religious individual. We know that. He was a Jew. He was a descendant of Abraham. He was a man who kept faithfully the Sabbath day. He kept all of the ceremonies. He obeyed all of the commands of Moses. He took care of all the feast days. He went to the temple regularly. He tithed his income. He fasted so many times a week, and he gave alms to the poor. He was a very religious man. The second thing we know about this man, Nicodemus, now apply this. Let's apply this to ourselves. If he had been living today, he would be here in church this morning or in somebody's church. When the offering plate was passed, he would have placed carefully 10% of his income in that offering plate. He would have already read the scriptures this morning. He would have already took care of his morning devotions. This entire day would have been spent, if Nicodemus were living today, this entire day would be spent in reading the Word of God, in fasting, and in prayer. He was a most devout, religious man. Now, the second thing about him, he was a highly educated man. Nicodemus was no dummy. The scripture says here he was a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus was a leader. If he had been living today, he would be one of the elders of the church, one of the deacons. He would be the Sunday school superintendent, or he would be the pastor. He was a leader. He was well-read. He was a teacher of other men. Nicodemus sat in the councils of the chief priest. He would be meeting in the office of the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, if he were living today, or he would be meeting in the office of the highest-ranking officials in the Catholic Church or the Presbyterian Church or the Methodist Church. He sat with the chief priest and the chief counselors of Israel. He was a top man among the Jews. Thirdly, Nicodemus was an outwardly moral man. He was a Pharisee. The Pharisees kept the Ten Commandments. They kept the law of Moses. This was their righteousness. This was their hope of salvation. This was their hope of acceptance with God. This man would never knowingly, willingly, outwardly lie. This man would never steal. This man would never take God's name in vain outwardly. This man would never kill anyone outwardly. Now, inwardly is another problem. But outwardly, these men took careful pains to keep the Ten Commandments so that they could sit in judgment on those who broke them. They were the judges of other men. It was the Pharisees who brought to the Lord the woman found in adultery and demanded her death, that the Lord have her stoned. So he was outwardly clean and moral and religious. Now in the fourth place, and we might apply this to ourselves, he was a perceptive man. He was a thinking man. He was a man who gave credit to Jesus Christ. He showed by his statements that he was at least aware not only of the person of Christ, but of the power of Christ. He was aware of the greatness of Christ. He showed that here. He said, no man could do these things you do except God be with him. I know you're from God. We know that you are a teacher from God. We know that. We know Jesus Christ is a special person. If he had been living today, he would have promoted this Jesus superstar. He would have promoted the Ten Commandments movie. He would have promoted the movie King of Kings. He would have promoted Ben-Hur. He would have promoted anything that spoke of or adhered to the greatness of Jesus Christ. He spoke highly of Christ. In fact, Nicodemus is mentioned in the New Testament about three times. That is, in the first four books in the Gospels. In John 3 here, when he came to Christ, and Christ, he told him, we know you're a teacher come from God. But in John 7, verse 50, Nicodemus was the man who stood on the floor of the meeting between the chief priest and the counselor and defended Jesus Christ. Now, some of you men in business may say, well, I speak highly of Christ in my business meetings and in the gathering of city officials. When the commissioners and the city officials and these folks meet, I lead in prayer. Well, Nicodemus would have done the same thing. He would have done the same thing. He spoke highly of Christ. He said in John 7, verse 50, does our Lord judge any man before it hears him? This man Jesus ought to be heard. He stood on the floor of the chief counselors of Israel and defended Jesus Christ. And then when the Lord Jesus died in John 19:39, when Christ gave his life, when he suffered on the cross for our sins, was crucified, and when he died, Nicodemus helped bury him. And Nicodemus brought some of the spices and precious ointments to the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was very careful about this. He thought Christ was really something. It says here that he came to the burial of Christ, John 19:39 is where it's found, with precious ointment and spices. Well, there you have this man. He was religious, more than we are. He was highly educated in the fundamentals of Judaism and other religions, more than we are. He was an outwardly moral man, more than we are. He was a perceptive man and courageous. He had a lot of courage. It took courage to stand on the floor of that council of Jews and speak of Christ Jesus. What was the message Christ had for him? In verse 7 of John 3, marvel not that I said unto thee. Don't be amazed that I said it to you, Nicodemus. Don't be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. I said it to you, religious, educated, courageous, perceptive, moral, I said it to you, you must be born again. Now I'm going to stay right with this text. It's vital, it's necessary to every man. In verse 3, note two things before I get right into the message now. Verse 3, Christ said, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see. That is, he cannot understand. He cannot be acquainted with the kingdom of God. Except he's born again, he can't see, perceive what it's all about. And in verse 5, Christ said, except a man be born of water, that is, of the grace of God and of the Spirit of God, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It's an impossibility. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, the first two words of verse 7, we're going to look at two important words in verse 7. My text is verse 7, just five words. You must be born again. That's what Christ said to this man over and over again. You must be born again. Now, the two words we look at first are the words born again. What is it to be born again? Preachers preach about it and folks talk about it. Are you born again? Preachers talk about being born again. Well, nobody takes the time to define it. I just doubt if very many people in religious circles can actually define being born again. What does it mean to be born again? You must be born again. Well, what does it mean? Well, we know this. We know it's more than getting religion. Nicodemus had plenty of that. Being born again is a lot more than getting religion. Nicodemus had his share of that. His whole life was religion. His whole life was theology. His whole life was laws and ceremonies and rituals and rules from morning to night and fastings and devotions and meditations and scripture and prayers and all kneelings and all of these things. Being born again is more than just getting religion. This man had plenty of religion. He had enough religion to share with all of us. We know it's more than that. Being born again is more than getting religion. And secondly, it's a lot more than ceremony and ordinances. It's more than, what are ordinances? Well, baptism is ordinance. The Lord's Supper is an ordinance. Ceremonies, it's more than that. Being born again is more than ceremonies. This man had been circumcised. He'd been catechized. He'd been consecrated. He'd been dedicated. He'd been confirmed. He'd been reconfirmed and reordained and rededicated and everything you can imagine. He'd gone through all of these ceremonies. If he lived today, he would be sprinkled as an infant. He'd be catechized as a child. He'd be confirmed when he's 12 years old. He'd probably be dipped and immersed also. He'd be ordained. All of these things would have been done to him because he went through the whole picture book. He had all of it. He'd been involved in all the ceremonies and all the candlelight services and the soft music and the laying on of hands and all of this thing. But being born again is more than that, because Christ said to him, you must be born again. And it's more than trying to keep the law. Paul was a Pharisee like Nicodemus. The Apostle Paul was a Pharisee. He said a Pharisee of Pharisees before he was born again. And he said that the righteousness of the Pharisees is in the law, and their righteousness concerning the law was blameless. 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 So being born again is a whole lot more than a law of morality. Nobody listening to my voice right now or later this week, no one listening to my voice, is one half as law-abiding as Nicodemus. Not one half. But he wasn't born again. If you've got any ears, you better listen this morning. You better listen. What is it to be born again? Well, first of all, I'm going to define it. First of all, the author of the new birth is the Holy Spirit. He's the author of it. Now, Christ said in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The Holy Spirit is the author of the new birth. The Holy Spirit of God. You cannot give yourself spiritual life. The preacher cannot give you spiritual life. I don't care how gifted he is or how famous he is. He cannot give you spiritual life. Your mother and father cannot give you spiritual life. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Your mother and father can't give you but one thing, and that's sin. A sinful nature. An evil nature. The work of regeneration, the work of life-giving, the work of awakening, the work of quickening is of the Holy Spirit of God. He is the agent and author of the new birth. It comes from Him. Christ said down here in verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, where it pleases. And you can hear the sound of the wind, and you can see the effects of the wind, but you can't tell from whence it cometh, and you can't tell whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. as the Spirit of God moved on the dead, dry bones in Ezekiel's valley, He moves on dead sinners to give them life. He gives life to whom He pleases, and where He pleases, and when He pleases. This new birth, first of all, is a work of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the means. Now, the author of the new birth is the Holy Spirit. It's not the preacher. It's not the altar. It's not the water. It's not the bread nor the wafer. It's not the church. The author of the new birth is the Holy Spirit. And secondly, the means of the new birth, and that's the reason when you come to the house of God, you ought to listen. If you can find somebody preaching anything, that's the hardest thing in the world today to find, is somebody preaching anything. There's nothing to listen to. But the means of the new birth is the Word of God. This Word right here. Turn to James 1:18. I want you to turn over here because I want you to read this with me. James chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the author of the new birth, this spiritual birth, is the Holy Spirit. He gives it. We're born the first time of our natural parents. We're born the second time of our parent, God Almighty. We're born the first time of natural seed, the seed from our father that is placed within our mother and gives us life. We're born the second time of incorruptible seed, the Word of God. Now listen to this in James 1:18. Of His own will beget. Now, to beget, you know, is to conceive, to give life. Of His own will beget He us. How? With the Word of truth. That with the Word of truth. Now turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Now this is a very important scripture. Verse 23, being born again. Being born again, that's what it's all about. That's what we're talking about. Being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is the author of life. He's the one that gives life, and the seed He uses, the means He uses, is the Word of God. Not my reasons and logic and argument, but the Word of God. That's what He uses to give life. Now then, the results of the new birth. What is the new birth? The Holy Spirit is the one who gives it. And the Word of God, that's the means He uses by which to give it. Now, what happens when a person's born again? Here's the results of the new birth. There is new life, a new life, not the old life made over, a brand new life, a divine life. We are begotten again unto a living hope. In Adam we died, in Christ we live again. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. It's a new life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new person, a new being, a new creature. It's not the old life of flesh, the old natural carnal life. It's a new divine life that God puts in. Secondly, it's new faith. Turn to 1 John 5. Now, here's some scripture that I want you to follow with me. 1 John chapter 5. It's new faith. It says in 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, that He's the Messiah, that He's the Redeemer, that He's their God of their God, that He is the one whom God sent to redeem His people. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. It's a new faith. It's a new faith. Christ is not just a great person, a great man, a great healer, a great prophet. He's the Christ. That's who He is, the Christ. He's our surety. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our Redeemer by His life and by His death and by His resurrection and by His intercession. And then look at 1 John 4:7. The new birth is a new life. It's a divine life. It's the life of God in the soul. And the believer now has two natures. He still has that fleshly nature with its conflicts and with its desires and with its trends. He has a new nature, the holy nature of God that cannot sin. It's a divine nature. It's a divine life. He has a new faith. He no longer believes just in the world and in himself. He believes in Christ. And then he has a new nature. Look at it, 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. This is what scares me. Oh, with all the religion that we have, so little compassion, so little genuine spiritual affection. This is the thing that concerns me. With all of the religion and professed beliefs that we have, there's so little sincere, godly compassion and unselfishness and graciousness and generosity. He that loveth, he who knows how to love, is born of God. 1 John 5:4, look at this. 1 John 5:4, whosoever is born of God, born of God, 1 John 5:4, does what? He overcomes the world. He has a new world. The old world has lost its interest for him. He has a new nature. He has a new direction. He has a new family. He has a new world. He lives in a new world. He overcomes this old world if he's born of God. There's a vast difference in saying, I'm born again, and experiencing this radical, supernatural, divine work of which Christ spoke to Nicodemus. This religious, educated, highly perceptive, moral, orthodox, fundamental Jew. Christ said, Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. And this is of the Holy Spirit. It's the Word of God as the seed. And it brings forth a new faith and a new life and a new nature and a new creature and a new person. I'm not denying the conflicts with the old person. I'd be a fool to do that. But I'm saying that if the new nature is not there, and that overcoming nature, and that spiritual nature, and that divine nature, then a man hasn't been born again. Look at the next word now in our text, John 3. It says here, Christ said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Must be born again. If ever you're going to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. If ever you're going to be redeemed or saved, you must be born again. You may be rich or poor, but you must be born again. You may be old or young, but you must be born again. You may be religious or profane, but you must be born again. You may be intelligent and moral and talented, but you must be born again. Without the new birth, you're not children of God. Scripture says in John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the privilege, to become the children of God, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but born of God. They are the children of God, those who are born again. Without the new birth, you have no spiritual life. Christ said, that which is born of the flesh, that's flesh. That which is born of the Spirit, that's spirit. And without the new birth, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now watch our text again. You must be born again. You, preacher, you must be born again. You, Don, you must be born again.
You, Paul, you must be born again. You, that's what it says, that you must be born again. Charlie, you've got to be born again. Isn't that what Scripture says? You must be born again. I'm totally inadequate to add to the words of Christ. I'm not going to try to, but Christ looked Nicodemus in the face, and he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You, David, you've got to be born again. Except a man be born again, he'll never enter the kingdom of God. You've got to be born again. This isn't a national question, a church question, a family question. It's a personal question. Have you been born again? You must be convicted of your sins. Don't talk about my sin. That's none of your business. You've got to be convicted of your sins. You've got to see your inability. Don't talk about my shortcomings and my infirmities. That's none of your business. You've got to be convicted of your inability. You've got to see Christ as your Savior, your only hope, your only Redeemer. His blood, your only hope to cleanse you of your sin. You've got to call for mercy. Boy, I wish old George was here this morning to hear this sermon. I don't. God wanted George here to be here. But you're here. You're here. And you better hear it. You may not ever hear another one. And the Lord Jesus said, you've got to be born. I've got to be born again. Or I'll never enter the kingdom of God. Have I ever called for mercy? Have I ever on my face before God convicted of my sin said, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner, me. I need help. I need grace. I need mercy. You say, well, I never have. Well, you've never been born again. I don't care how moral you are, how righteous or religious you are, how faithful or dedicated or devout you are, or how many times they've sprinkled you and thrown water in your face and dipped you and immersed you and confirmed you and catechized you and everything else. You've never been born again. A born again man cries for mercy. He pleads for mercy. He sues for mercy. He seeks mercy. He receives Christ as his Lord and his Savior. And a half-hearted little decision for Jesus ain't going to quite make it. And a half-hearted little aisle-walking profession not going to make it. You've got to be born again. You have got to be born again. This grace of God, this experience of life, this new creation, it's got to happen to me. This life-transforming experience, it got to happen to me. This thing of begging folks to come to church on Sunday and worship God, that's for somebody else. That's not for me. Because born-again people do worship the Lord. They worship the Lord. They can't live without Him. That new life has got to be fed. That new life has got to be nourished. That new life has got to be with the family. Has to be. Because that's the family now. That's the family. These folks that are kin to me by blood, that's not my family. These folks that are kin to me because they're my in-laws and because they're my cousins and nieces and nephews and brothers and sisters, I'm done with them. I've got a new family. I've got a new family. I've been born into the family of God. And that family is 10,000 times more important than that other outfit. That's right. Got a new family. You've been born again? I'm telling you, Nicodemus had everything you got. With a little bit more. Nicodemus could produce anything you've produced in all your life put together. And a little bit more. But he wasn't born again. He wasn't born again. Have you been born again? And then Christ said, listen to this, verse 7. Verily, 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 verse 5, look at it. I say unto you, verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee. Who said it? This is not the voice of a preacher. I wish you'd forget the preacher's here this morning. This is the voice of the Lord. I said this, Christ said. I said this. I said it. The one who created heaven and earth, I said it. This is not the voice of a denomination. This is not the voice of a religious crackpot. This is not the voice of a traveling evangelist. This is the voice of God. I said to you. This is the one who gave and sustained your natural life. This is the one who came into this world with concern and care and compassion for sinners. This is the one who went to Golgotha's cross and died and shed his blood. This is the one who is at the right hand of God interceding for those who are interested. This is the one who will one day judge all men before whom you will stand, who said, marvel not, I said to you, you must be born again. Now all here this morning that are satisfied with a little easy believism religious experience, that's all right. That's okay. All who are satisfied with going through the motions of religion, it's your business. All who are satisfied with looking at the law every Monday morning and checking to see if you've kept it through the week, that's your business. And all who want the candles burning and the organ playing softly and the stained glass windows and all of the atmosphere of religion and all the ceremonies, that's your business. But I want life. I want life. I want God. I want Christ. I want that living new nature, that new life, that divine nature that lets me walk with Him and talk with Him, that lets me rise above the little so-called misunderstandings and fallings out and hatred and malice and cares and concerns of this ungodly, evil, dying, Christ-hating world. I want to rise above it. While I have to walk through it, all right. But I want that new family, that new life. I want Christ. And not something I have to go through the motions, despising it while I do it. And not a law which I have to keep, which I dislike. And a people I have to fellowship with to get to heaven whom I hold in contempt. I don't want that stuff. I want that new life that brings with it love and joy and peace and humility and meekness and patience and kindness and graciousness and mercy and all that the Holy Spirit gives. And not something that I have to force and something I have to drive myself to do and something I have to sign a card to remind me to do it on time. I want that which comes spontaneously. As hate once came spontaneously from my old nature, I want that nature that loves me. As once my old nature fired up with temper, intemperance, and vengeance, I want this new nature to put forth the bud and then the full flower of forgiveness and mercy spontaneously, not something I have to say, well, I'm going to try to love people. You haven't been born again yet. That's your problem. You've got religion and plenty of it, but you haven't been born again. Because where there's a new birth, there's love. And where there's new birth, there's grace. Where there's a new birth, there's mercy. That's so. You know it and I know it. And it's not something that we can strain to produce and twist and coerce ourselves to manifest. It's Christ said, there shall be in you a well of living water springing up, an artesian well. You don't have to keep putting the water in. It comes out because there's new life. This is a new birth. And if we don't have it, let's seek it. Let's cry to God for it. And don't be satisfied till we get it. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. they be filled. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock. God says, I'll open. I'll open. Our Father, speak to our hearts by thy powerful word, by the life-giving word of the living God. Convict us and break us and crush us at thy feet in the dust of repentance, and reveal Christ not just to us, reveal Christ in us. As Paul said, my brethren, I travail till Christ be formed in you. In his name we pray. Amen.